Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
This is Southern Utah's first and only elder care radio program. We bring news and information specifically for our senior community. Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care wants everyone in this community to be better informed and to live the best life possible by taking control of their lives.
We encourage everyone to be their own best medical advocate, to be an active participant in their own health care, to be part of your own plan of care.
Kaylee, can I interrupt just a second?
Wednesday morning's radio program helps you accomplish that. While we do try to bring information each week that is specific to elder care, we are always willing to answer questions for anyone in Southern Utah, no matter what your age is.
If you want access to services that make your life better, we want to help you find it. Call us at 435-477-6999.
Plan to bring you some COVID good news each week to offset at least a little of the fear that is being promoted.
This week in COVID good news, from an article in the St. George News by Chris Reed, Southern Utah is seeing its lowest corona case rates since the start of May. Despite some events over the past 2 weeks that saw hundreds of people gathered in close proximity, many without face coverings. David Heaton, spokesman for the Southwest Utah Public Health Department, which oversees the battle against COVID-19 locally, said there is the possibility that large outdoor events may not be the super spreaders they were thought to be.
He went on to say, we've not yet seen any large outdoor event be related to any significant outbreak. We continue to see smaller clusters among families and smaller gatherings.
So what does that mean? We have not yet seen a large outdoor event be related to an outbreak. Whereas in small family group clusters, there are still a few tests being shown positive. So think through all the news you've seen recently with all of the outdoor events that made it to the news, not just here in Southern Utah, but everywhere. They have seen no COVID-19 outbreaks. There was a county fair a couple weeks ago, no COVID outbreaks. Maybe we can go outside and enjoy a conversation with our friends and neighbors.
Maybe we can go outside and enjoy some family conversation. More COVID good news. Currently, according to Southern Utah's Public Health Department, Kane, Garfield, and Beaver counties, you have no new COVID cases. Woohoo! For Washington and Iron County, we are averaging less than 10 new positive tests per day. With about 145,000 residents, that's a very small number.
Even more good news. Since the beginning of the outbreak in March, Utah has a 99.21% recovery rate, and the four-week average is higher than that. And that is calculated on just those formally tested and tested positive for COVID. It does include the 100% recovery rate for everyone that was infected and recovered that didn't get tested. And since the end of July, we are enjoying a 100% recovery rate for those few that have been tested positive in Southern Utah.
That is good news. The efforts that Utahns have made, especially here in Southern Utah, have been working. If we continue to always use proper hand hygiene with social distancing and masks if you can't social distance, we should be completely safe from the infection. So let's celebrate. Let's organize a smaller outdoor neighborhood block party.
It doesn't have to be 150 people. If it's just four or five couples or single people that are good friends that have already been self-quarantining, there is no risk of spreading a virus that no one has.
In fact, if you organize a block party for your senior friends and neighbors, we want to be there to celebrate with you. We want to attend and help you put it together. Just call our office and we'll help you organize that party. 435-477-6999.
And Cedar City right now, your evening weather is probably perfect for a party, and 10 days from now, and that'll be true over the next 10 days. And then after that, St. George, our weather should be cooling down, and it should be great evening weather. So today, we're going to change things up a little bit. We have with us Kobe Taylor of Fusion Pharmacy. Kobe's the owner and head pharmacist at Fusion. We've known Kobe since we started Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. And I personally appreciate that Kobe started Fusion Pharmacy with a passion, but I'm going to let Kobe talk about that.
I appreciate him too, by the way.
Thanks for having me on the show. I love healthcare, and I love looking at different solutions, and I love working with people in the community like Pathway Hospice that looks at trying to come up with solutions for healthcare. So the whole goal is to help people be well and then help people support in their time of need and kind of come up with solutions. And I started Fusion to do just that. We have two locations, one in Riverside Drive and one on in Santa Clara. And we have a fabulous team that works to work with people to try to come up with solutions. And we do lots of things with providers in the community to try to provide education to our patients and let them know kind of what solutions are out there.
Okay, so when somebody walks into one of your locations, what should they expect and what makes that different for Fusion than most other pharmacies in town?
We are different in that we are looking for a way to connect with people. So when you walk in, I often will ask people kind of like, what's the medicine for? What's your end date for the medication? Which is kind of a different question. Sometimes people don't realize that the medications that have side effects often is because of nutrient deficiency or depletion or something like that. So trying to work with people to understand that medicine's still a chemical. There's, if you're going to put it in your body's, you know, and if you want to talk about medicine, nobody's Prozac deficient. Nobody's statin deficient. These are things to help modify or change disease. And so it's important that people understand kind of what they're taking, how it interacts, making sure you've got the right dose. And my big thing is talking about nutrients. So you're looking at supplementation and nutrients to make sure people are nutritionally sound. And you don't see, I don't think enough people are talking about that or understand that or really are looking at the overall health picture in trying to get that message out.
I totally agree. One thing that you said that I think is really important and we need to emphasize is that drugs have an end date and they should have an end date. And I think often we get put in this cycle and we just keep calling for our refills and we keep getting refills. And if we don't have an end date, then we're not curing. We're not resolving
right.
an issue.
And I think it depends on the medicine because you do see some medications are lifelong and you need to take them. If your body, so type 1 diabetes, you don't make insulin, you're going to be on insulin. Like you're not going to find a solution to replace something your body's not making.
And that's a good point. We've tried to promote the idea of palliative versus curative care, and we've tried to explain that word in detail. So if you are on a medication that doesn't have an end date, then that is just palliative. It isn't going to cure you. It's going to deal with a symptom. And that's exactly it. So in all the drugs that we take, there are those that are intended to cure. And if it's intended to cure, there'll be an end date. And if it's not intended to cure, but it's just intended to maintain, then it's palliative and there won't be an end date. But you at least need to know that.
Right.
But there are definitely drugs that are given with the intent of to help you through the difficult time with the intent that it ends. And often we forget that. We should be asking our doctors, being our own best medical advocate, about when the end date for this drug is.
Right.
So that we understand, is this one that is lifelong or is this just to get me over the hump?
Absolutely. And I think as you age, you see that your liver and kidneys and things change. And so looking at that and thinking, you know, do I still need to be on the same dose? Is this dose really effective? Do I even still need this medication? Has my body changed to the point where I don't need it any longer? And some of those questions are just questions that a lot of people haven't asked, and they just keep taking pills and they refill them and refill them and refill them, and they haven't thought, like, you know, well, I don't know. And, you know, if you can't tell me what your medicine's for and you can't tell me if it's doing anything, then it's, you know, it's time to reevaluate and kind of look at that and see. And, you know, and I think it is concerning when you have someone come in and they've got a drug load of, you know, 20, 25 pills. There's an effect on the body to manage that. Nutritionally, those drugs do cause nutrient deficiencies, and those nutrient deficiencies can cause side effects and other disease states that maybe you're not realizing what's really happening.
So, Kobe, we've talked before on the show, and we've had a couple of patients even this last week that come to us with a med list of 24 to 26 meds. And when you talk to them, they, like you said, they can't really tell you if they're benefiting them anymore. Some of them, our doctors can look at and say, absolutely, you're going to stay on this one to make sure that you don't get blood clots that strike right. your heart. And then there are others that our doctors have been able to say, okay, you're on 5 pain meds. You got 5 pain meds from, you know, 4 different specialists here. It's time to have that reevaluated. So who should they be going to? The specialist, their primary care, or the pharmacist who can look at it all? Who
do they well, I think the I think it's a team approach, right? And I think it's I love to be an advocate for patients. So trying to do, and sometimes your pharmacist has got to, you know, we use a software that's really good at helping me. I can put a whole bunch of different drugs into it, and then I can give you a list of side effects and interactions and things like that. And once you start seeing things on paper and kind of, and then at least allows for a conversation to occur with the provider to say, you know, hey, do I really need to be on this medicine? Is this really doing what I think? Could I, you know, do a trial period of coming off of it, reevaluate whether or not I need to add it back on? And it needs to be systematic. And two, it's important that people, I do have people that sometimes they decide they're frustrated with medicine and they just go off everything. And that's a terrible plan because people have all kinds of side effects and withdrawals. And so there's some things that you've got to taper off and you just can't stop. So those conversations are important to have with a provider and kind of come up with a plan of how to end and, you know, is there an alternative? Is there another path? Is there, and that's, you know.
So you're willing to talk to anybody about their, the drugs that they have and give them kind of some background information of where they're at. And then they should be able to take that to their doctors. Many of our elderly community have more than one doctor, but if they take that new information, they go back to their doctors and they say, okay, so these are the drugs that I'm on. Because truthfully, if you go to your primary care physician, he won't know the drugs that all the other doctors have prescribed. And in Kaylee's example, you know, where you have 5 different pain medications, because each doctor said, oh, well, you're feeling some pain when you came in, so I'll give you a drug. And then that pain's gone away, but they're still taking that drug. And so they're, you know, the plethora of drugs that are fit there.
I think to expand on that, we need to be clear that, so you have a primary care and they refer you to a specialist. You need to realize that the specialist and that primary care physician didn't really get together behind the scenes and say, I'll do this, you take this part, and collaborate. Once you've been referred to that specialist attends to that. So sometimes we do end up with multiple drugs. So you do have a department that helps as a patient advocate then, right?
Correct. Right. We have a team of people that are looking and helping kind of manage those things. Absolutely.
Okay. So, and that's one of the interesting things I've come to realize is that the pharmacist's position really is to be the one to bring all those things together. One of the problems we have today is that most people don't go to the same pharmacist for all of their prescriptions. So if you go to Smith's for something, and then you go to Costco, and you go somewhere else for something else, the pharmacist doesn't have the tools to be able to know that all those things are going on. So it's good to have that foundational background, you know, that one place, that pivot point, so to speak, that you can start with. So get the information from your pharmacist, any pharmacist. In fact, pharmacists are obligated to offer information, but most people don't take them up on it because it seems like an inconvenience. I don't think your health should be inconvenient, so take the time to find that information out. Right. Once you have that information, go talk to your primary care physician. He may make some suggestions, or he may recommend that you go talk to one of your specialists about, you know, what's been prescribed there. You may talk to all of your doctors, but if you personally are involved in your health care, instead of leaving it to everybody else, I think you're going to come up with a better.
Oh, for sure. And I think, too, it's important, too, to actually look at your supplementation as well. So people are always, you know, they're like, they may not realize that some of the supplements are interacting with their medicines as well. And getting a complete list and providing that when you go to a new provider and giving them the list and having a list and being an advocate and doing that. And, you know, and we can help people with that. But a lot of times it is when you're talking about over-the-counter products and you're buying something from a mail order and you're buying things from 3 different pharmacies and you've got 5 different doctors, trying to get a complete list is difficult. And all the providers want that because they want to evaluate and look at everything and make sure that it all makes sense and works together. So
you were saying earlier that, you know, when you're taking drugs, it does have adverse effects on your body. It does deplete you of a lot of nutrients and things like that. And that's really where you are trying to overcome that. So tell us more about what right. your studies and what your research.
So, you know, I've seen over the years that, you know, there are medications that, so one that proton pump inhibitors, for example, so Nexium, Prilosec, Protonix, that particular medication has got three major studies now that are linking it with Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease is considered a mineral deficiency or mineral things, and those medications change the pH of your stomach, which decreases absorption of minerals. So it's certainly plausible that there's a linkage there in some of those things. And that drug in studies was, you know, it's looked at for 12 weeks, and you've got people on it for 15 years, 20 years. And there's certainly very, very reasonable things for you to take. You've got an ulcer, or you've got H. pylori, or there's disease states. Absolutely. It's curative. But long-term, we're starting to see that drug is not as benign as we once thought, and it does have side effects and can be affecting people's overall health and wellness and things like that. And it's a common drug. And so it's important to at least understand that that's what it is. And it's not to say that some people absolutely need that. But I also think that it's important to understand what it is and see, is there another way to help treat some of the symptoms that I'm using it for? Do I even still need it? And kind of evaluating kind of where you're at.
So I have that problem, and it's mostly when I eat baked goods. I usually get some heartburn. And so I've used that in the past on occasion, but not regularly. But I do know people who have, you know, that's just kind of a daily thing that they are using as a supplement. So what are some options that people can use that are less negative to solve that particular problem?
So heartburn is it's interesting that a lot of it's just an indication that your digestive tract's not working correctly. And if you ate better, that would be one. So, right?
What if I don't want to give up my baked goods?
So that makes it more difficult. But you can do, some people, as we age, we stop making stomach acid. And so you'll talk, you know, like people will talk about, you know, apple cider vinegar. And that really is, it's helping your body supplement what it's not producing. And so, and you can do, take nutrients and things like that. If somebody's folic acid deficient, a lot of times they can't make their stomach acid. So there are nutrients that you can take that sometimes help you boost what you can make. Some people just don't make it. So apple cider vinegar kind of helps with that process. And it denatures proteins, it helps break down foods, it helps absorb minerals. And so if you're eating relatively well, it shifts you from, you know, nutrient deficient to nutrient sufficient. And you'll see a shift and change in disease state. And that's where somebody will have a testimonial. It's like, oh, my gosh, it changed my life. And that's why. Now, does it work for everybody? No. It kind of depends on what's going on in the individual. But it's a really cheap, easy thing that somebody can do to shift and change. And it's, and most people, when I say you've got heartburn that I'm telling you to put in an acid, they're thinking that does not make sense. I'm not going to, right? But it's because your body's not producing enough acid. You need to add some to help break down the stomachs to move things along.
You know, I think it's interesting that you say that, because as you go through this, I think, yeah, I was with Richard at the doctor's when they said, you know, this is all his constant problem with acid reflux was due to the baked goods. But they offered the suggestion without us thinking to ask further, is there anything else that we could do? Is there a change that we can make that would prevent this right from happening? It's interesting that you offer all this other information, and we get back to being your best medical advocate. I'm looking backwards and saying, gosh, I wish I would have asked that question. I didn't think about that, to say, Right. Okay, instead of just accepting, wow, that's a solution we'll work with, we could have asked for all of the solutions, all of the answers. What are all of the choices that we can choose so that we can make our own decision, or use something temporarily and then move on to another
option? Absolutely. And I think asking those questions, I love to take a disease state and go backwards. So, you know, what nutrient deficiencies are commonly associated with, you name the disease, and then you look and see. And that kind of helps to guide people that there's things missing.
So Alzheimer's is a real concern. Obviously, in the elder care community, we are dealing with a lot of people who are suffering from that. What are some proactive things that people can do, and maybe we can't really resolve the problem at the very end? What can we do earlier on to make a much better plan for ourselves?
I think there are some things in the literature that kind of, you know, all disease is inflammation, so things that help with inflammation. So looking at bigger picture, so you're looking at vitamin D's got some good studies, fish oil's got some good studies. Just any time they do a study on fruits and vegetables, of just eating more of those, you see a positive improvement in health. So it's really looking for, you know, and that's what I love, is looking for solutions. And even looking with providers, you know, I love that, you know, I love your approach too. Pathway Hospice is looking for ways to do things differently, and they're trying to change and be an advocate for the patient and change the way that we approach healthcare. And so I love talking to healthcare providers in the community that do that. And we have a lot here. What's crazy is that there are so many different solutions, and it's sometimes confusing to the consumer because there you've got everybody on every corner telling you this and that and whatever, and then your neighbor's telling you this. And the reality is every single person is different. You're genetically different and you eat different. And so your solution is likely different. So being open to the, you know, and I think if I can give anybody just a little shred of hope that there 100% is a solution for you to feel better and be more active and live a happier, healthier life. And you customize your therapy all the time in hospice, right? That's what it's all about. And that's the whole thing with that is to make it so that people can get solutions easier, faster, and it's actually covered by Medicare. And I think people don't realize what a gem that is in getting into something sooner, faster, better, and getting therapies that maybe are outside the box or getting something that actually helps you function.
On that, just this week, we had a patient whose doctor put them on to hospice. And when we came in and put together a plan of care, they were really mad at their doctor and called and said, "Why didn't you tell me about this a long time ago? I've been dealing with my husband all on my own. I didn't have the resources to navigate. I didn't know where to go. I didn't have anybody to offer me the questions to ask. And they have made my life so much better." They literally called the doctor and said, "You should have told me about this 6 months ago." So you're right.
Well, and I was speaking to a doctor just this week, and it was kind of interesting because I had gone in and explained to him how we're trying to change, you know, the image of hospice and in the area we're bringing broader range of services and care for patients. And he told me something that I thought was just incredible, you know, the statement that he made. And this doctor's had, he's been a medical director for hospice for decades. And he said this, "You know, hospice is a great place for alternative treatments. The handcuffs are off." That was his phrase, "The handcuffs are off. Within hospice, I could offer treatments and other things that I can't normally." And we really want our patients to have all the choices that are possible so that they can pick a plan that works best for them, that it fits their goals, that it fits their needs and their own personal physical, you know, issues. And we want to adapt that as we find better solutions along the way. So
it's true. Back to, if you think that hospice is ending or giving up, it's not. It's about living the highest quality and the best. It actually brings hope.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the whole my approach to healthcare and your approach to healthcare is just trying to come up with solutions. And it's, you know, and whether it's delivering a medicine in a different way or compounding or even maybe referring to a different provider, I really, truly, that's my goal is to try to help somebody come up with a better outcome.
We are almost out of time. Kobe, would you give everybody the company name, telephone number?
Yep. Again, I'm Kobe Taylor with Fusion Pharmacy. We're on Riverside Drive in Santa Clara. You can call us at 435-703-9680. Or check us out on our website, fusionspecialtypharmacy.com. We'd love to do a consult and talk with you.
Okay, and Southern Utah's Elder Care Radio program is brought to you by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, and we do more for our patients. If you want access to services to make your life better, call us, 435-477-6999, and invite us to those parties that you guys are setting up. We look forward to seeing you. Again, the telephone number, 477-6999. Thank you very much.